All right, church, let's move farther into Mark chapter 15. We are now in verse 16. It's just going to be a short section, verse 16 through 20. Let me read this to you. It says, "The soldiers led him away inside the palace," that is the governor's headquarters, "and they called together the whole battalion, and they clothed him in a purple cloak, and twisting together a crown of thorns, they put it on him. And they began to salute him, 'Hail, King of the Jews!' And they were striking him, his head with a reed and spitting on him and kneeling down in homage to him. And when they had mocked him, they stripped him of the purple cloak and put his own clothes on him. And they led him out to crucify him." All right. This is the gruesome stuff. We've covered the betrayal, the fake, evil, illegal trials. And it said Pilate sent him away to be scourged, and here they come. All right. And it's evil. It's disgusting. It's sickening. It's saddening. It's humbling. It's all of these things. All right. The soldiers led him away inside the palace. They called together the whole battalion. They're going to whip him, beat him, and mock him. The mockery is always what, I don't know, always what gets me. Obviously, the actual whipping and beating and all of this, maybe you just take that, yep, that's what happened. We know he's going to go to the cross, which is even worse. But the mockery, mocking the Son of God as you do this to him, it's mind-boggling, right? How could anybody do that? What? Why? How? That's what you might wonder. I wonder. But Jesus also said that whenever you give someone a cold glass of water who's thirsty, you're doing it for him. And whenever you don't do that, you're not doing it for him. So have you ever mocked somebody? Have you ever laughed at somebody's expense? Ever wished ill upon somebody? I don't know. Ever cursed somebody? We have a lot of this right now. It's widespread. Mockery. Just being mean. Gossiping, whatever. Whatever you've done to the least of these, you've done to me. Jesus says. All right, so how did they wind up come to doing this? By being people. By being sinful, ordinary people. Like me and you. That's how they did it. They're not special evil people that run around being evil and the rest of us are normal and other people are really good and these are evil people and we look down at them or something. No, these are normal people put in a position, and in their position, they did some evil, evil stuff that anybody else is just as capable of doing. I believe, and the Bible seems to support this completely. Sin lives in all of us. Sin runs amok in all of us. Combine a sinful person with sinful circumstances in a sinful world. Add in just enough agitation, just enough whirlwind of activity. Put them in a certain context, and evil is going to come out every time. That's what we know. That's a theme of world history. Unbroken. The only thing that breaks it is the moves of God, His church, His people. And we are supposed to be bright, burning lights in a really dark world. We're supposed to stand out differently because the norm of this world is this kind of sinful stuff. That's what the Bible says. And if you're honest, that's what's out there. The only question is Christ alive in you, burning bright, or not? Because you're just as sinful as anybody else, as these Roman guys. They happened to be born then. They happened to live in Rome. They happened, for whatever circumstance, to enlist themselves as soldiers in Rome. And here they are following orders. And they saw the top of the chain. All right, we always have this thing, and they, you know, the lowest guy on the ladder follows the orders of the guy above him, and the guy above him follows the orders of the guy above him. And so we all want to blame the guy at the top. I was just following orders. That's the guy that's the problem. The guy up there, he made me do it. You know what? We covered a lot, but the fear of God answers this question the right way. If you fear God, you don't fear the guy above you. The guy above you gives you 100 perfectly fine commands. You obey them all because you fear God. And in the name of Jesus, you're going to obey your superior commanding officer, your boss at work, your whatever person in authority in your life, your parent, if you're a child. Because you fear God, you love God, you obey God, and God has put you in this position, and that's how you're going to serve God, by serving this person. But this person gives a command that goes against God, and you say, absolutely not, because I fear God. All right? Well, put yourself in the leadership position. Strong leaders, good, God-fearing, courageous leaders have good, God-fearing, courageous followers. They just do. One guy with a backbone strengthens hundreds of others with a backbone. One wishy-washy creep who lives in fear will cause everybody under him to live in fear. All right? Pilate's in fear. We looked at this at the last session. He's afraid of the crowds, and we also know he's afraid of Rome. You want to be a friend of Caesar, you got to do this, and you don't want to be an enemy of Caesar, do you? So Pilate operates in fear and gives Jesus over. The soldiers say, hey, big boss man just gave us some orders. Big boss man's afraid. We better do it. If the big boss man's afraid, then the soldiers are going to be afraid too. If big boss man says, this is right, guys, we're doing the right thing, and I don't care if it's scary, and I don't care if they come after us, and I don't care if Caesar himself marches into town and cuts off my head. I'm not doing wrong because I fear God. Pilate says that, these soldiers won't do what they do. Pilate didn't say that. Pilate washed his hands, said, go, whatever, I don't care. Get rid of him. And they said, oh, boss man wants us to beat this guy up. Boss man doesn't care. Boss man's afraid. We better do the job thoroughly. They don't. That's why Jesus said, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. They're living in fear of the wrong thing. They're living in fear of a false God. They don't even know. It's a pitiable position. We read this and you might get angry, you might get sad, you might get everything else. Jesus sees this and he has pity, he has mercy. All right? Think of it this way. This is one way that you can love your enemies. Your enemies are in fear. They're in terror of the wrong thing. They're obeying the wrong God, gods, whatever. And that's why they're acting the way they're acting. Not to say that the way they're acting is good or right or justifiable. It's to say when somebody's acting in fear, they're unreasonable, they do unreasonable things, and it gets really ugly. And it doesn't say that you can always fix it for them. But you can look at them and you can say, God, have mercy. These people are like sheep without a shepherd. They're tossed back and forth. They don't know who to follow. They don't know who to obey. They're in fear of everything. And that's why they're acting like cornered animals, lashing out with all kinds of problems. They're in fear. All right, so don't you fear. Don't fear them. Jesus doesn't fear them. They have earthly authority over him. They're beating him up and they're about to kill him. You want to be afraid of a person? Be afraid of these Roman soldiers. These are some scary people. Not Jesus. He says, I don't fear them. I'm not accountable to them. What's the worst thing they can do to me? Flog me, publicly mock me, spit on me, rip out my beard, put a crown of thorns on me, nail me to a cross until I die, and make fun of me the whole time? What's the worst they can do? What is that all you got, punk? That's what Jesus, that's, I mean, he's not defiant like that, but he doesn't care. It's like, I'm not accountable to them. What's the worst thing they can do? All that stuff? Whatever, and resurrect from the dead, live forever, the right hand of God. What do I care? What are they going to do? All right, that's his attitude. And because he has that attitude, he's able to extend grace and mercy to people that you and I would never be able to extend grace and mercy to. So learn to see people and situations the way God sees them, and you will have mercy on people that you would never otherwise have mercy on. You will learn to love people who you would never otherwise love and care for them who you'd never otherwise care for. And you know what? It's not easy. It doesn't come naturally. People are going to look at you like a crazy person. Like, how could you possibly get along with so-and-so? How could you love them? Are you on their side? And they'll accuse you of all kinds of things. But look, we got to stay, get to the root of things. Fear of God is the beginning of knowledge. Fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. Fear of God is the beginning of love. you're able to love them if you're under God. If you're under them, you'll never love them. You'll always resent them. All right? Now, you got to stand up and tell what's truth. You got to stand up for the innocent and the righteous. You got to stand up for them. But you can do it in love. All right? They're mocking him. They don't know. They're following their example of their leader. Their leader caved into a crowd that was shouting, "Crucify, crucify. We don't want anything to do with him. We'd rather have Barabbas than him." They saw their boss give in to that. They said, "I guess that's what the boss wants. That's what he likes. He gave that the go-ahead. So we're going to do it." So if you're in a position of any kind of authority, if there's a person in your life who looks up to you, one person or 100 people or whatever, in any capacity, you're a parent, you're a coach, you're a grandparent, you manage people at work, or in any capacity, they have people that look up to you. Lead them into the fear of God and the love of God. Lead them in that. And you will see that they will grow in maturity and righteousness. Fail to lead them in that, and you will see that they are no different than the rest of the angry mob. And we will just have more and more of this evil stuff spreading everywhere. God bless you. We'll hit up, we'll move into the actual crucifixion here and death of Jesus next. I'll see you then. Praise the Lord.